Chapter 7. The Document. Marion Halcombe continues the story. June 15th, 1850. Laura returned 2 days ago. She has changed and is no longer the happy, innocent girl that I knew. She won't talk about her husband, and when I asked her questions, she stopped me. "I don't want to talk about my marriage," she said. "I want to be happy now that I'm back with you." She was silent for a moment, and then she asked, "Have you heard from Mr. Hartwright? Is he well and happy? Has he forgotten me?" I didn't want to worry or upset her. "I haven't heard from him recently," I replied. "Sir Percival has a short temper, and my presence seems to annoy him. Count and Countess Fosco are his guests. Eleanor Fosco is always quiet and polite, but occasionally I see a sudden change in her expression, which makes me think that there is something dangerous about her. The Count is tall and extremely fat. He wears expensive clothes, speaks English well, and talks very little about his past, but I know that he has not returned to Italy for many years. He's a charming but very strange man, and I can't decide whether I like him or whether I'm afraid of him." June 16th, 1850. Sir Percival's solicitor arrived to speak to him. As I passed the library to go out for a walk, I heard the solicitor's voice. "You must ask Lady Glyde to pay the bills," I heard him say. Hearing Laura's name made me very curious, so I listened outside the door. "The bills must be paid, Sir Percival," continued the solicitor. "Lady Glyde must sign her name in the presence of a witness. If she does, your problems will be over. If she doesn't..." "Lady Glyde will sign," shouted Sir Percival. "She will." I went straight to Laura's room to tell her what I had heard. "Don't sign anything without reading it first," I warned her. "Our lives will be easier if I do what my husband wants," she said. "However, I will read the document first." June the 17th, 1850. After breakfast, Sir Percival asked Laura, Count Fosco and myself to go into the library. "I need Laura to sign a document, and there must be 2 witnesses, he said. "I would like you, Miss Halcombe, to be a witness." A document lay closed on the table. He opened a small part of it, covered the rest of the document with his hand, and gave Laura a pen. "Sign your name here," he said. "What is the document about?" Laura asked. "I haven't got time to explain," he said. "Then let me read it," Laura insisted. "I should know what I'm signing."
"Nonsense," Sir Percival shouted. "What do women know about such things?"
"Excuse me, Sir Percival," I said. "I can't witness Laura's signature unless she first understands what she's signing."
"Is that the way you thank me for my hospitality?" he shouted at me.
He turned to Laura.
"Sign the document!"
he shouted furiously. Laura threw down the pen and stood up. "I refuse to sign the document until I have read all of it," she said. She took the document and walked out. Sir Percival started to follow her, but Count Fosco took his arm. "Let her go," he said. I decided to ask our solicitor, Mr. Gilmore, for advice, and I wrote a letter explaining the situation. As I needed a reply urgently, I asked Mr. Gilmore to send his reply with a special messenger the next afternoon. I posted the letter, together with the document, from Sir Percival. Laura and I put on our coats and went out, walking in the direction of the lake. "You're lucky that you have no money, Marion," Laura said sadly. My husband only married me for my money. He doesn't love me. I knew that she was right, and I put my arm round her to console her. We reached the lake and went into the boathouse to sit down and rest. Laura saw something move outside.
Marion, she said, did you see that?
I looked out. In the distance, I saw someone standing in a field, watching us.
Is it a man or a woman? Whispered Laura.
I couldn't tell as we were too far away. We went quickly back to the house.